tsunami's back, bitches.
Took you long enough.
This has been an experience we will never forget.
This ain't no time to go all mushy.
Don't lecture me. I've waited long enough.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 252 of the Toonami Escape Podcast. I'm Greg Zeno. Tonight we have the crew, B-Dubs.
Hello.
C-Caller.
Hey guys.
And Seda.
Are we recording?
And Craig.
I wish I could make Craig talk right now.
That would be nice.
Make Craig say, now recording. How's everyone doing this week?
Good.
Okay.
I'm fine.
It's hot.
Well, hey, say that at least you're still not in the Pacific Northwest where everyone is dying of heat.
Yep.
You know, it's like 98 degrees in, you know, the east, you know. So, like, East Coast is not exactly doing great either.
But I was, like, reading about Portland is, like, Portland is 117. Do you want to know the record high all time for Las Vegas?
Yeah,
117.
Yeah, it's insane.
Which on one hand is nice because it cooled. I live in Mississippi. It rained a lot today, which is nice on one hand because it like cooled everything down. But now like it's going to be humid as heck.
Oof. I mean, I'd rather have it be a little cooler, I guess.
It's fine as long as I stay inside.
Look at it this way, B-Dubs. This is the coolest summer of the rest of your life.
God, I heard that joke before, and I'm just like, I hate it, but it's true.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's get right into it, because I don't believe there's any news.
I can't think of anything.
They showed some clips of Chainsaw Man.
Oh, wow, that looked really good, too.
I know. Can't wait for it to be on Netflix.
Do we know that, or is that just an assumption?
I'm just going with that, because that would totally happen.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, Seda, do you know anything about Chainsaw Man?
Apparently it's way more interesting than the title might let on.
Yes. I would say if it made it onto Toonami, I would be pretty happy. And again, that's just based on like this preview, which who knows, but the preview looks excellent, so it would be a good get.
What's uninteresting about Chainsaw Man?
I mean, it sounds like it might be a little, you know, edgelordy.
Yeah.
This dude has a chainsaw for a face. What do you want?
It's a psychological thriller action show.
So I've never seen anything Chainsaw Man.
Yeah, me neither.
I just assumed the chainsaw was like his arm, not his face.
Oh, it's his arm too, and his face.
Yeah.
Oh, his arms and his face?
Uh-huh. He's Chainsaw Man.
The thing is, though, like, him being Chainsaw Man and having chainsaw stuff is, like, not really the crux of the story.
No, the crux of the story is that he really wants to have sex.
Wait, what?
Yeah, it's interesting. It's a deeper series than you might think it is. It's got a lot of psychological stuff going on.
Okay.
Nicole, do you want to go get some family burger sometime?
So are we actually getting Chainsaw Man?
No,
we don't know anything about that. I was just saying that if we did, it would be a good thing, probably. It's based on the manga.
Okay.
All right. C-Caller, what's happening in My Hero Academia this week?
My Hero Academia, episode 96, match 3 conclusion.
I match 3 and I win the game.
So yeah, this is, we finish up with the match between, and I'm not going to name all the characters, but some of the key players are Ida and
Todoroki.
It's hard to remember these. There's so many characters going on at once. Todoroki's in here.
And then some other dudes.
Yeah, I actually liked this fight a lot. They basically first of all, let's start out with the beginning of the episode with Ida doing his super move, which is like he's going like, you know, the Flash basically, and it just looks and animated incredibly well. It looked great. The whole episode looked really good.
They unnecessarily made this is unnecessarily good looking.
Yeah, I mean, there's one thing I can say about this season is they're bringing the animation a lot more than they did, like, say, the last season. There's a lot more quality animation.
Like, they brought it so hard for Ida, they were just like, Speed Force! And then Todoroki gets kneed in the head, like, 15 times.
Yeah, and Ida was really a badass in this. I mean, like, it was great to watch him. I kind of remember he's, like, one of my favorite characters in this show.
And when he gets a chance to be.
Exactly.
The animation made him look cool, you know?
Right, and he was also kind of cool, like, he was very stoic, and, you know, he was like, I've got to do this, you know, I'm going to, you know, he's got that whole, like, I've got to be as good as my brother kind of thing going on, and you know, it's cool. The guy who is, you know, can turn into metal is fighting Todoroki, and, you know, Todoroki's having, like, his flashbacks to his father being like, you need to unleash this power move, and he does, and then Pony is there and she's doing her stuff and Tail Guy is fighting Drill Guy. Ultimately though, the whole match kind of peters out because Pony uses a loophole because there's like basically each team gets one person in the jail, but then she's like, okay, we've only got like 30 seconds left, so she just lifts all of the remaining members of her team, including a knocked out Todoroki, up into the air so that Octopus Arms guy can't get to her, and she just waits out the match, and then it becomes a tie.
That was clever.
Achievements in lame.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, but it was clever.
And then, like, one of the beast dude was like, yeah, but, you know, sometimes you got to run from a fight. And, you know, he kind of points out that this isn't bad for the training purposes.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, kind of an underwhelming conclusion to the whole match where she just sort of waits it out.
Ida did decapitate that one dude.
Wait, what do you mean?
Literally, in Speed Force, kicks Mudman in the head.
Oh, right.
And it's just like, that's a fucking fatality.
You murdered that boy.
Like, that dude's head is gone.
So, we get a prelude to the next match, which is going to feature prominently Bakugo. And it's also going to prominently feature this other Class 1B character, whose name I don't remember, but this girl who...
Lizard girl.
With the lizard skin outfit, basically. And she's going to be their, like, star player in the next match.
This episode looked good, but... It's kind of crazy that they did this for this for a tie.
That's fine.
I mean, I can't help but think like part of it, I think, is just, you know, they wanted to make it look interesting.
I think it's okay. I mean, like, and I know that people are kind of like, oh, these paddles are kind of boring, or I don't care about them. I just gonna keep saying that, like, this is not like compelling story or anything. But it's kind of like candy to me. It's just like, I just like to see these characters do their stuff.
It's some nice filler.
Yeah, exactly. It's not filler because it's canon, but it feels like filler.
Yeah.
But like, it's filler in the sense that, like, none of this matters. It's just, hey, let's just watch these guys go at each other.
Yeah, it's basically the Davy back fight of, you know, My Hero.
Yeah, kinda.
It kind of feels like most of the block is in, like, fillerish area right now, though.
That's kind of true to an extent. So, but yeah, like Seacolder said, I'm not super hot on this, you know, arc for My Hero, but, you know, it looks nice, and I'll just get some enjoyment from just kind of seeing matchups of characters we don't normally get to see, even if there really is no, like, plot going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks nice.
So, yeah. This episode had cubes. This episode gets a cubes out of 10. Speaking of cubes, Dr. Stone. Dr. Stone, Stone Wars, Episode 7, Secret Mission. In this episode, the goal is simple. take over the Miracle Fluid Cave, and we win because we don't have to attack. We don't have to attack them head on now that we've got Chrome back. But we're still gonna gather up some more allies by telling them the USA is coming, and then all these Japanese people are gonna go, USA, USA, USA.
God damn America.
We need the Team America theme song playing right now.
Yep, the media is like, don't worry, Japanese people, the United States is coming, and then they're just immediately belting out, America, fuck yeah, coming again to save the motherfucking day, yeah.
Exactly.
And it's like, okay, all right. Anyway, Ukyo sees through all this instantly because super hearing.
Side note here, just not really worth mentioning, because we've mentioned this a dozen times, but because they throw out the whole, like, the whole speaking in English subplot here, in the Japanese version, when Ukyo is speaking over the telephone, he's speaking in English, and that's kind of a giveaway that he can tell, or he's basically hiding what he's saying to the people around him. They changed it in the dub to be that he's just whispering.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not sure what else you could do.
Big laugh.
There's a whole lot of, uh-oh, what do we do? This character is actually speaking English.
Exactly. So this, I think this is the mostly the last incident of that. So,
but Ukyo is a good guy. He's seen Yuzuriha's secret mission of putting all the stone people back together.
There's a lot of things in this show that you kind of have to, like, you know, kind of give a benefit of a doubt or stretch your, what's the word, suspend your disbelief. It's like, yeah, we're really placing people together, like, from, like, pebbles back to, like, statue, like, scale people.
This is a bit much.
They do say it's, like, insane. So it's like they kind of realize that, like, this is insane task, but still it's hard for me to, like, accept, oh, yeah, they can do that.
Oh, yeah.
Seda, would it help you if I told you that later they kind of address this issue a bit more and say that, like, even if there's some pieces missing, it still works?
I feel like that makes it worse.
Like, if there's a little chip in your shoulder missing, it's fine.
Exactly.
Yeah. I'll see. But they do like, acknowledge that this is, quote, like, they call it literally insane.
So if you haven't, like, noticed, every single person has a superpower, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we talked about this in the thread, and I think it's kind of neat. It's a neat thing to point out in Dr. Stone, because at first I didn't really notice it, and then I was like, wait a minute. Almost every character has a super ability.
Yeah. Yuzuriha has 3D puzzles.
Yeah, she's like, she was arts and crafts, basically. So anything revolving, mm-hmm, like, sewing or crafting things, she's amazing. Of course, we know Senku's super smart. Taiju has super endurance. I could just go down the list. I mean, Ukyo super hearing, Kohaku super sight, you know, Tsukasa super strength. Everyone has a super ability.
Tsukasa is not super strength. Tsukasa is super John Wick.
Close enough.
But yeah, Yuzuriha is just out there, just told everyone she's doing all-nighters sewing clothes, but actually she's just like, brrr. All right, clothes done.
And this is the follow-up to a mystery that started actually back in season one.
Yes, remember that one time Senku whispered in Yuzuriha's ear and she was like, what? And then we never left. And then it's like, oh, forget about that for 200.
See, what I like about this, though, is that it shows that Inagaki, the writer for Dr. Stone, he had all this planned out.
Yep. There's one thing in particular that we never... See, Kohler, can you tell me if we ever saw the full list of everyone's names in the village in the anime?
No, they showed, like, each character, but they didn't actually list their names, mm-hmm, in the anime.
Because I noticed that one thing in the manga that they hid in that.
Yep, if you go back to season one and look at the characters in that shot, it'd be very interesting.
It would be. Anyway, Yo pretended to be dead because he fucked everything up. So that's cool. Ukyo has a thing he wants, and that he wants Senku to win without killing anyone at all.
That was Senku's plan anyway.
Yeah, Senku's plan anyway, but Ukyo is a very nice guy who, he saw all those statues getting broken, and he was like, oh no, this is the worst. Anyway, Senku is going to win non-violently with a tank.
That doesn't sound non-violent.
No, it. Look, what you do is you do a flying dropkick into a dude's face and go and yell, "Nonviolence!"
That sounds legitimate.
And then the tank shoots a shell, but the onomatopoeia says "Nonviolence."
That makes perfect sense. I believe it.
But actually, what they literally are doing that because they're like shooting a noise round with an explosion bladder. Anyway, Taiju's here. Boo.
Yep, it's nice seeing them get back together. I liked this moment.
Kohaku's like, I know instantly who this is. The fucking legend, Taiju.
I liked, like, he tried to go for the hug and then, like, Senku ducked out of the way.
No.
It's self-preservation.
Yep. He would get crushed and that would be the end. So at the end of this episode, Tsukasa is at Senku's grave paying his respects to those dudes Hyoga killed. By the way, Hyoga, bad guy. He's the only one who's just like, let's kill people.
Because Tsukasa thought that Yo died, so he was burying his like little face chips or whatever.
Which Yo just ripped off, which is disgusting.
Yeah, he's like, I'm going to bury him next to all these other people who died. And Hyoga's like, who are they? And then he's like, these are the people who died in the raid. And then and Hyoga's answer is just like, oh.
Oh. Oh. Oh.
He really seems to care deeply about them.
Oh, yeah. Those meatheads.
He cares so much.
Oh, well. Anyway, Tsukasa finds the phone. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. And that's the episode. Stone Wars is good.
Honestly, it is the one bright spot of this current incarnation of the lineup.
Yep. I honestly have to say, I think the block got a little bit dire again while we weren't looking.
I mean, part of it is definitely there's only so much they can get in a given, you know, without going into
part of
stuff
it is that they
that
only have four
well,
slots to work with.
That too.
Well, Black Clover will be eventually done.
Black Clover needs to get out of here.
Yeah,
they need to actually have to fill that slot consistently without relying on Black Clover. So that's why they're going to bring back Boruto.
I was just saying, like, they'll just put Boruto there.
Shoot me.
We have like 100 episodes. Like I forget exactly when we left off, but we're 50. Probably like.
Like 52.
I think we're literally like 100 episodes behind now. So cool.
All right. Rapid fire to each of you. Grex, would you welcome back Boruto?
Not without a block expansion.
Okay. Seda.
Yes.
B-dubs.
Honestly, I'd rather something more interesting.
Fair enough. You know? Fair enough. Well, that's like, why I just wanted to see.
It's the opportunity cost. Boruto being back is like said we. It's that instead of
we could
10
have something
shows,
else.
Yeah,
10 shows over the course of Boruto. But of course, they're probably sitting there like everything's going great. We got Yashahime, Inuyasha. That's Adult Swim to the
yeah,
letter.
Yeah, I mean, like, look, we've said it before. Yashahime is like a no brainer for the block, even if whether it's good or bad.
Yeah,
I'm with you though, B Dubs. Like. On the sense that, like, I don't mind Boruto, but the fact that it's an infinite runner kind of makes me go, hmm.
It's not so much that it's an infinite runner, weirdly enough. It's just, how do I describe Boruto? I like it, but I don't like it. You know? Like, it's fine if it's part of a larger block. You know, like, you sandwich it between two really exciting shows, and it, you know, it sort of helps, you know, manage the hype a bit.
Give me a four-hour block with Boruto in the back hour, and I'm like, all right.
Like, if you had to ask me where I think Boruto would be really good, like, pick the two most exciting shows you got, sandwich it between those two, and I think that would be a good spot for it. You know, the current length is just not, it doesn't quite work.
Yeah, I was thinking about, like, the two rerun blocks,
mm-hmm.
is like, it's kind of hard to stick a new show back there, you know, because people anyway.
Speaking of Yashahime.
Yashahime, Prince Episode 1, Inuyasha since then. So this episode opens with Toa who is captured by some shogunate. And the people who are interrogating her are like, you, we found, and we're wondering where what it is and where it came from. And then basically what we get is a flashback to, I don't know, like 12 years earlier or something like that, maybe more than that, which is back to the original cast members of Inuyasha, and sort of, it's kind of like an epilogue, sort of episode prologue to the sequel, with that cast fighting a demon that was just sort of a leftover bad random demon thing. So kind of a nostalgia episode, which I think is, you know, a sensible way to open the series here. So we see Inuyasha, Kagome is not in the village, Rin is there, Moroku and Inuyasha are on a mission to take out a demon that's been released from a tomb. Moroku and Sando?
I think so.
What's her name?
Tongo.
Tongo have children, have like twin girls and a boy.
I mean, who's shocked at that?
Yeah.
Exactly.
And basically, they learn that this demon is still after the Shikon Jewel. It thinks Kagome is Kikyo. You know, it really feels like an episode of Inuyasha, kind of redux again. And it was sort of fun, in a way, if you're at all fond of the original series, just to kind of see a new adventure with these characters. I don't know if there's anything really interesting more to say about that. It was nice hearing that, like, Inuyasha's voice actor returned, and he sounds pretty much the same. Kagome's voice has already changed, like, once before, so I don't really... I don't know if her voice is different or not. I can't even tell, because Moroku, unfortunately, his voice actor passed away, so it's a different voice now.
I don't... actually, I don't believe it is at this point.
Wait, what? I know Kirby was cast in the role, but I don't know if he ever got a chance to actually record.
Like, he's credited as Kirby. Kirby is credited in this episode.
That's good.
Oh, wow. It didn't really sound like him.
Well, I was going to say the same thing. It sounded like a completely different person.
I know it's been like 15 years or whatever. Yeah.
It hasn't been that long.
He passed 10 years, whatever. It's been a while. But yeah, he passed away like really shortly after the announcement about his casting, you know, returning. But anyways... The most unfortunate voice change is Jaqen. You can't replicate his original dub voice, unfortunately. No, like, that's impossible.
It was iconic.
I'm gonna sue someone.
Unfortunately, just have to call out the fact that these voices sounding different was pretty distracting to me in a way that I couldn't stop thinking about it. But I think for people who maybe are not invested in the original show, it wouldn't have mattered. But
I thought Inuyasha was the most important, and he sounded the most similar. So,
right. Yeah, he didn't sound similar at the beginning when he was talking kind of softly, but then when he started doing his typical Kagome,
Windscar.
Yeah.
Anyway, don't worry about it, because all these dudes are gonna fuck off out of.
Yeah, they're probably not gonna exist much more after this.
Yeah.
Except ironically, Moroku.
Oh, also, Kohaku. That's his name, right?
Yeah.
I remember his final act voice kind of sucked. So he's got a different voice now, which is probably for the better. And he sticks around because he's like older, I guess, later. anyway, so they beat up this root demon thing. And then we go back to the present where Toa is still captured. And they learn that...
Well, not the present. In the past, present.
Yes.
Well, you know what I mean.
I just had to say it.
She gets rescued by two other girls, Setsuna and Morohora? Say it again.
Moroha.
Moroha?
Moroha.
Okay, Moroha. And they learn that the one guy was like an owl demon, and they chase after him. And that's about it.
Yay!
Now, woo. I think I know who these characters are like the children of, but I don't think the show has revealed that yet, technically. So.
And so that's why you can think for as long as you want, you can go, man, who is the mother of Toa and Setsuna? I just don't know.
So Toa and Setsuna are sisters, and I think they said that.
Yeah, it's promo.
Yeah.
But like, I mean, they even said in the promo who's the daughter of Inuyasha, and I mean, like, come on.
I can't tell at all.
So yeah, the next generation. start off with a lost episode of Inuyasha, basically.
I mean, kind of what everybody wants out of the, you know.
You know what? That's exactly right, B-Dubs. I think that if you were going to start this series, it's a sequel to Inuyasha. The very first thing you should do is have it be like this, just so that people aren't going, where's Inuyasha? You know?
And this is a very sensible way to start a scene like this.
There's more of it.
Yeah.
Now, I will say, one thing I noticed that I wanted to comment on briefly is the animation. It's interesting because, like, it's clearly done by a different studio that did Inuyasha, right, or at least different animators. And it's interesting because, like, they definitely are trying to mimic the original character designs of the show and the characters. And, you know, they look like they would have been, you know, Rumiko Takahashi characters and everything. Like, they look right, but then they were animated differently, and I don't know how to put this into words, but like the animation was just different to me. Like, I would see characters from angles that you normally wouldn't see them from, and like the way they moved, it just seemed a little more fluid and a little different, and it was interesting. And I'm not saying this in a negative way. It was just something I noticed as someone who watches a lot of anime and animation. I was just like, it's interesting to see a group of animators trying to kind of replicate the style of another group of animators.
I didn't realize this show was done by Sunrise. They're pretty good overall.
I'm pretty sure Sunrise did the original too.
They did?
Yeah.
Let's take a look.
Well, maybe they did. And that's what I'm saying. It's like, it's probably a different group of people than the originals who did the show, you know, decade ago or whatever. I just think it's interesting.
Same old ass dudes.
Well, if they did, they're doing it differently because it looks different to me. Like, I can tell that the animation process is different. So
I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, like, they basically went, well, we've got all this new stuff, so why are we going to do it the old way?
Oh, yeah, the both Inuyasha and the Final Sunrise, so it is the same studio, but obviously going to be a bulk of the animators will be different by now.
Right.
So
I would assume. And again, like, it was just stuff where, like, I just see characters writing on the back of something and they would turn their head, and it's just like, it doesn't look like Inuyasha the Final Act to me. It looks different. But those are definitely the same character models, so it's just interesting.
So yeah, how'd you enjoy this lost episode of Inuyasha?
It was an interesting enough start. Like, I don't know what...
They seem to be trying to pack a lot of backstory into this, where they're like, making sure the viewers know, like, oh, you know, this is the past, the events of the when we ended, and the Shikan Jewel is gone. Like, they kept bringing that up. It's like, the Shikan Jewel has been destroyed.
The Shikan Jewel will never come back.
It honestly, I could see why they might want to do that, just so it's like, no, it's not the same shit. Don't worry, it's not the same shit.
Different jewel scattered into several pieces.
Exactly.
It's unfortunate that Inuyasha, he doesn't get to take off that collar. Like, they just don't trust him.
I mean, at this point, I think it's just, you know.
They couldn't have made this and not had her do a sit boy.
Also,
at this point, I think it's just like his fetish at this point, let's be real. You know, like he enjoys it to an extent.
Inuyasha is a bottom.
He's just constantly in his mind going, tell me to sit.
Yeah. He's like, wait, she's not getting mad at me. What? He's just like, wait, she's not getting mad at me. What did I do wrong? I have to make sure
that actually happened in this episode. That actually happened. He was like, why weren't you mad at me?
Yeah.
He said that.
Like, it freaks him out.
Yeah. Another thing somebody pointed out in a thread too is, why does Kagome give up her life in the modern day?
Because of Inuyasha?
Yeah, I'm pretty guess, sure it's just, you know.
Well, why can't he just come in? Inuyasha?
He got dog ears. Like, you think nobody going to notice he
it's
got
Japan.
Ears?
It's Japan!
And so what? Like,
wear a hat!
What, you think he's going to get, like, a data entry job or something?
I want to see Inuyasha in the future is just drinking beer and is a fucking bum.
Right, like, that's totally who he would be. Like, all he knows is swing sword good.
I mean, I'm not saying that it doesn't make sense for her to stay there. I remember someone pointing it out in the thread. It's like, she's giving up so much, and telephones and, you know, pre-cooked
not
meals.
Dying of an infection when you, like, slightly scrape your toe.
Yeah.
not being murdered by
random root demons.
Right. Or,
yeah, random bandits.
Anything. Oh, yeah, that was dumb, too. They called the demon Roothead. It's a pretty lame name.
I wonder if... I assume it had, like, a Japanese name. They probably should have just kept it.
Was it, really?
I think Roothead, just, dude.
Like, Inuyasha disrespects every demon he comes across. Like, he doesn't give a fuck about any of them.
Every cool Japanese demon name has already been taken. Hey, do you want to die? Make a drinking game around when text saying the character's name and role shows up on screen.
We all know MHA is worse.
Oh, no.
What? Oh, God. So they go full MHA.
Yes.
Why?
Come on. Nobody needs to do
because
that.
Because this is a show for dumb babies who don't remember anything.
Oh, man. Somebody needs to talk to the anime industry and tell them that this cannot be a trend.
Sorry, too busy working myself to death. Hey, B-dubs, what's going on in Food Wars?
Food Wars. Well, Akira joined Central, and he made a good dish.
But it was good enough.
Wait.
Did you watch this episode?
Hang on. I told you I don't remember enough to, like, summarize the damn thing. Wait, people losing their clothes is actually a secret technique?
Yes.
Okay, we have a lot to talk about here about
what?
This.
In fact, it is a superpower.
No.
So
no.
This is dumb.
This is the dumbest. As a metaphor, this was fine. You know, like, this worked as a metaphor. I'm perfectly okay with that. But it happening in real, like, all of this, like, there was literally that thing. Remember the old lady we had the flashback to when she was young? And it's like, oh, she's naked and she's remembering her first time.
The stupid thing is that they go out of their way in this episode to explain this, which, by the way, I'm going to read some text in a moment.
God.
Some lines from this episode that will blow your mind. But the thing is, they talk about this like it's really happening, but then it doesn't happen. Like, they literally cut back to the characters and their clothes are just back on anyway. So it's like, why are you trying to make this seem like it's really happening when it's not?
I haven't seen this episode. All I want to say is, in the past, they might have, like, chilly pointed this out in sort of, like, a fourth wall-breaking way, like, losing their clothes, but it was never, like, this is actually happening, like, they're temporarily losing their clothes.
It literally becomes a Kekkei Genkai that the...
Okay, listen to this, Seda. This is what Dojima says when Nakari, the main Nakari guy... This is what happens when his clothes fly off. This is what Dojima says. Aha, the hallmark of the Nakari family through the ages, the naked subspecies, through sheer force of will, clothes can be shattered in all directions, known colloquially, or whatever how you say that word, as the burst. Like, they literally call this move the burst.
The burst.
And then, so they're saying everyone sees it. The flows fly off, everyone saw it, and he calls this move the burst. And then later, the girls' clothes fly off, and they're suddenly like, what's happening to us? And then Dojima chimes in again, and he says, there it is again, a superior form of the burst. When tasting a dish worthy of pure nakedness, one that fills the heart with harmony, the spiritual energy of the Nakari family blood forms a pulse wave that is released into the air. The resulting phenomenon can render even those not of the Nakari family temporarily disrobed and vulnerable in a state of undress. This experience is the gift.
The gift.
This is it. This is the moment. This show has completely jumped the shark.
Yeah. Like, there's no coming back after trying to go, yes, this is real, actually.
No longer a metaphor.
It was fine as a metaphor. You didn't need to explain it. It was a metaphor.
I need to watch this, but it sounds dumb.
Like, the thing is, Seda, it's like, first of all, you're right. They don't need to do this. And second of all, I don't even think they're going to commit to this.
Of course not. This is stupid.
I mean, I think he's going out of their way. It's like the author is going out of their way to explain something that's been going on since the first season, and there's no reason to.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't even make sense. People's clothes fly off when there aren't Nakari people around, right?
Unless.
As long as they're on the same tapes.
Island.
No.
Unless they're within 100 miles of the Nakari.
Wait, what if?
Hey, wait a minute. Those first dudes, all the way back in episode one.
Yep. In Soma's little cafe, there was no Nakari anywhere closer to there.
Wait, did we ever meet who's Soma's mom?
But what if
Soma's mom is a Nakari?
What if Soma has Nakari blood? Is that what you're getting at?
Pretty much. It's the only thing that makes any sense with this stupid ass explanation.
But nobody until this moment was surprised that their clothes would fly off until these two girls did. Explain that.
Look over there.
They didn't think of the plot point.
This sounds dumb as hell.
It really does.
Maybe more so just pointless. Like, why even bother explaining this and trying to change it from a metaphor to something not a metaphor?
Because you don't know where you're going in the story.
It was perfectly fine as a metaphor. You didn't need to do anything with it. It was great as a metaphor. It's like, oh my god, it was so good it gave him an orgasm. Like, that's a fine metaphor. You don't need to do anything with it. Yeah. Like, that's all you needed to say. Like, all that is just, you know, like, the clothes and stuff is just how you show it, you know?
So the question I have then is Dojima's explanation the fourth wall breaking, or is it not?
I think it's the shark jumping.
It's them explaining the fourth wall breaking as an actual thing, which it's like a character acknowledging that they're breaking the fourth wall.
It's like when Deadpool talks to his thought bubbles.
So maybe they're acknowledging that they're fourth wall breaking. Now we're like, I don't know, like fifth wall breaking or something like that.
But like, we're just getting way too meta for this.
You know what Dojima didn't talk about was Soma's and Akira's little punch out battle metaphor that was also going on where they were boxing each other.
They are actually really boxing. It wasn't a metaphor.
My God.
Like, all right, quick change into your boxing shorts. Blam! All right, get up. Put your clothes back on. This is called the boxing. When two chefs get into a really heated battle.
This is called the punch.
Anyway, Soma beat Akira here because Akira dish didn't taste like friendship.
Of course not. He doesn't have friendship in his soul.
Specifically, Soma went out and personally murdered Pooh and ripped the honey out of his stomach and put that in his sauce.
Yeah, that's how that works.
That's how that works.
And then June showed up, and she's like, gives Akira a big slap across the face.
You're a dummy poo-poo pants.
Someone had to say it.
And then Akira gets kicked out of the school, along with everyone else.
What?
Everyone else lost.
That didn't happen.
Yeah, yes, they did.
No one ever gets kicked out of that school.
Every single one of the... Soma has won.
Are you sure you're not thinking of a future episode? Because
Erina
I don't remember
this. Erina has won. And then at the end, after the credits...
Oh, there was an after credits scene? I don't remember this.
Everyone lost.
Okay.
Well, maybe I didn't watch after the credits.
Rio lost. Alice lost. Those two... All of the dudes from Polar Star whose names you can't remember, they lost. Erina's assistant lost. They're gone. They died.
Wow.
That's
I guess I need to go back and watch this scene.
Yes, you do. Anyway, show's over. They all...
Problem solved.
Problem solved. Notice them. They did not show Megumi and Takumi losing.
Of course not. They're not allowed to lose.
But yeah, because remember, everyone else was fighting members of the Elite Ten, including, hilariously, those two muscle dudes who... Do they have names?
No.
No. What do they cook? Nothing.
That's why they lost.
They probably cook like oatmeal, knowing those guys. I mean, what could they cook?
There's a place near me that serves like Korean hot dogs and oatmeal, and I really want to try it out.
It's probably really good.
It's like a bunch of different flavors and a bunch of crazy stuff in it, and I want to try it. Anyway, Does anyone here think they'll ever eat bear?
Probably not.
I mean, if the opportunity comes along, yeah. I don't know if that'll ever happen.
I mean, how many people are going to meet someone that can, you know, kill a bear?
You'd probably have to go to, like, Alaska.
Yeah, or Montana or something.
I mean, you can't go to the grocery store and buy bear.
No, like, I'm pretty sure you have to special order it. And then, like, you have to cook it a certain amount in order to have it, like, not kill you.
Because it's
I'm curious. I watched the Japanese. I didn't watch this episode, but I watched the previous one in Japanese, and they kept translating it as smelliness. Is that what they called it in English?
It's literally just stank. Stench.
Stank.
I'm curious, were the characters just saying smelliness, or were they saying something else?
I don't think it was smelliness. It was, like,
okay, the subtitles, they always called it smelliness, like, that word, and, like, over and over, not that it was weird. Like, the smelliness, like, I'm just imagining people actually saying smelliness.
They were kind of like referring to like the aftertaste and the smell.
Yeah, okay, that makes more sense to bury it up a bit. It was just kind of strange in the subtitles. I don't know what the Japanese word was, obviously, but.
So yeah, food wars. Jump to the shark. By the way, next match will be cooking shark. We jumped over the shark and then we cooked the shark.
Didn't they already do that?
Have they cooked shark?
I don't think so.
I don't think anyone has cooked shark yet. All right. Now for the bullshit shows. So Black Clover, episode 156, Awakening Powers. We're just going to run through these because, holy shit, I'm so bored. Everyone is still vaguely training with some dudes. I don't care!
I mean, yeah.
So, like, Asta is training with Electricity Boy, and at the same time, for no reason, Yami is training with Sisgoleon.
They're having a fight in a volcano.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they're just, and it's just, it all culminates in a scene where Asta and Yami both say at the same time, I need to push past my limits.
Yeah, that's a thing characters say in this series.
Anyway, they both win, or it's a draw with Yami, and doesn't really matter.
Yami learns how to, like, walk on air, and he's like, all right, I'm good. Yeah. I don't want to get killed. And he leaves.
Anyway, meanwhile, the Spade Kingdom is a fun place to be.
Have we seen the Spades Kingdom before now?
Not really.
No. Like, a long time ago, we saw that, like, that demon actor, like, very briefly in the Spade Kingdom. For, like, a tiny few minutes.
Anyway, it's a fun place with snow and stone buildings that all say Castle Dread and everyone sucks.
Yeah, it looks like some kind of, like, military regime or something.
It is. Some dudes from, like, a resistance are running away, and they all get ganked except for one dude who falls over a waterfall yelling about, Yuno! Why is this dude yelling about Yuno? Find out on future episodes of Black Clover.
At the very end, we see, like, the Spade Kingdom's king, and then, like, it cuts back, and there's, like, his shadow is a demon, and it's like, oh, what could this possibly mean?
This dude's like, I've got to get ready. I'm competing for the tallest crown award. So, yeah, Black Clover. Please get out of filler, and then end. Which is more than I can say about Naruto Shippuden. Naruto Shippuden, episode 347, Creeping Shadow. I have nothing to say about this episode at all. I literally can't tell you a single thing that happened.
I can't either. I tell you, in the past, I've been able to watch Shippuden reluctantly and be like, okay, I can tell what's going on. We're in so many levels deep of, like, flashback.
So,
I can't. I'm so lost. I have no idea.
We had a flashback of a flashback of a flashback. Like,
We are okay. So
this is Inception at this point.
We are
more confusing.
Obito's villain origin flashback.
Right.
Which randomly and suddenly turned into a filler flashback about Nagato and the old Akatsuki.
Okay.
And then in the middle of that, they decided to flat. It's like, do you remember their backstory? Here it is.
Yes, I think Chug mentioned this last time. We literally are now in filler for like the next 5 months or something like that.
Episodes?
Yeah.
Or kill me.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Oh yeah, it is 15 episodes.
Oh so. My god.
4 months, roughly.
God, can we get a better show?
No.
Do we know if that filler is of the continuing boring fill-in-the-blanks type filler, or is it like funny, let's have misadventures filler?
I know there's one coming up at some point that's literally Naruto doing the Chunin exam, except it's after he beat Pain.
Okay.
So you should be prepared for the next 15 episodes to be this shit.
So, like, I'm expecting that one to be at least mildly amusing because he's, like, massively overpowered for every single thing they could possibly throw
it's
at
like
him.
Like that one time Killua takes the hunter
yeah.
Like, and this immediately kills everyone and is like, can I have a hunter exam pass now?
Yeah, like, this is what I'm expecting. Like, he is at that tier. Like, it would be deeply unfair to even have him take part in the exam at this point. Like, whoever's team he gets put on is just going to win endlessly.
Just give him the honorary degree.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, he did the work. It's like when, you know how Steven Spielberg never actually graduated college?
Uh-huh.
Like, he was a couple of credits short, so, you know, the college contacts him, and they're like, okay, we recognize everything you've done. Send us, you know, like, a thing to show, like, hey, this is what I learned, and we'll give you the degree. He sent them Schindler's List.
It's like, we accept your evidence that you are Steven Spielberg.
Yes. It's like the deepest disrespect. It's like, you really gotta ask me to do this? Like, I just won an Emmy.
Here is my Oscar.
Yes. That's basically what he did.
What were we talking about again?
No, but what I'm saying is, like, this is the level that Naruto is at this point. It's just, like, just pass him.
Again, if they get to a filler where, like, we're not doing more of this, like,
flashback,
this stuff where we're, like, we've got to fill in things. Like, I want it to just be, like, the crazy fun fillers we had in the past where, like, random talking animals show up and who knows.
Or
at
like
least that
power.
Would be different.
Again.
Yeah, or, yeah, yeah.
Why did they suddenly go into a Nagato flashback?
I don't know. They just decided they needed to flash forward in the flashback and then flash all the way back.
It's all just biding time.
Well, they have to, you know, pad out the episodes because they're, you know, they caught up again and
right.
So yeah, how about we rank these? Naruto and Black Clover tie at the bottom. I refuse to think about which one is worse. I guess technically Naruto. Yeah, that sounds right. Naruto, then Black Clover, then...
Food Wars?
Food Wars?
Yeah, Food Wars.
In fact, why don't we just say that it's just the block schedule, but reversed?
No, because I don't think... Do you think My Hero was better than Dr. Stone?
I mean, it had cubes.
Okay. That's a good argument.
Pubes.
This was kind of a... This is a good Dr. Stone episode, but not a great episode. It was...
Right.
Okay. Fair enough. I can follow you. You know what? I agree. The more I think about it, I think the more I would probably vote for this episode of My Hero more.
Yeah.
It feels like the next Dr. Stone episode is going to have... some real...
Oh yeah, the next episode is like, oh, shit got real.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, shit is just real from now on. There's what?
Right.
4 episodes left?
Yeah, these yeah, last 4 episodes are all
even though we,
a big stuff.
Even though we just got Yajime, we're going to have to start thinking about like what's replacing Dr. Stone, and then
Fina.
Food Wars not too long. Yeah, Fina is probably going to be one of them.
I think Fina is probably the Dr. Stone replacement because that they said that's coming summer. Summer is starting now.
Yeah. Right.
Summer could mean anything but like mid-September, though, technically.
I don't think it's that late.
But at the same time, I'm not sure if it's going to be now.
Well, yeah. I just don't know that they're going to stop airing Food Wars after the third plate is finished.
Yeah, that's true. Food Wars, they might just continue on to the other seasons if they can.
Although, is the next thing the fourth plate? I think it is.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, so after this, there's the fourth plate, and maybe they'll take a break again. I don't know. I think I would like them to do that. But yeah, Toonami, thanks for being here. Seda.
Yep.
Thank you, C-Kohler.
No problem.
Thank you, B-Dubs.
I'm very tired.
I know. You're very tired. You're very tired every single week.
We do this so late.
Later.